All right. I'm going to be just talking about, well, mainly just reading about the five types of healthy boundaries. You know, physical boundaries, emotional boundaries, mental boundaries, time, and I guess intimate. That's another different one. And on this chart I'm looking at shows spiritual, but that's supposed to be personal towards the end. But anyone. Physical boundaries. See, we human beings always have an unsaid and unseen bubble around us that classifies us for our safe space. Interestingly, we decide on who is allowed at what distance from this physical safe bubble of ours. Like with our awareness, we allow some people or relationships in appropriate settings to get in this personal space in the form of hugs, handshakes, and cuddles. It is also about your sexual preferences and addressing the physical needs of your body, like hunger, thirst, and rest. Okay, I see what they're getting at there. That makes a little sense. Everyone has their own physical bubbles, physical buzzies. But, sometimes we don't really understand our own physical boundaries until the boundary is disrespected and or violated in a sense. And sometimes it can be a misintended violation. Not even intended to violate someone's physical boundaries, but in the spur of that moment, it was a gesture that was, I guess, you know what I'm saying, insinuated. Yes, like some people who give hugs that are too excessive, or some people who give a different kind of handshake that you weren't approaching, or handshakes that seem to be too firm, things of that nature. You're accepting of it, but it might be a little too excessive on how one person delivers to how it's perceived or it's received. So it's just understanding that some people's physical boundaries may vary from yours, and if you understand that there was no harm or misintended meant by it, you can just address it in a proper way. Now, back to the article. However, when this personal space is violated or invaded, it leaves us feeling upset, uncomfortable, and even anxious. That is why I suggested that one should maintain clear and healthy physical boundaries. Now, it says healthy physical boundaries will sound like, I'm really tired. I need to sit down now. Okay. Next one being, I am not a big hugger. I am a handshake person. Appropriate. Okay. Next is, I need to eat. I'm going to grab something. Okay. Last being, no, I don't want you to touch me like that. Okay. Now these are all very appropriate physical boundaries on how they sound. Like, I am really tired and I need to sit down. Of course, you got to be assertive to how you're feeling. I'm not a big hugger. Yeah, some people just don't want people hugging them, especially with the whole COVID and not very clean bodily persons in some environments. And as for handshakes, well, some people get like fist bumps and air high fives, to each their own. Now, when it comes to something like, I need to eat, I'm going to go grab something. Well, shit, if you need to announce it like that, then cool. But otherwise, be like, well, I'm gonna go grab something to eat. Short and sweet. Now, the last one is saying that, no, I don't want you to touch me like that. Well, that's probably the most assertive way that you set any kind of physical boundaries, especially in the sense of just casual interactions or even more like relationship interactions. Because, well, there's a variation to casual interactions. Yes, that's just setting a boundary straight for it, period. Relationship interactions is kind of like, yeah, you don't want to be touched like that, but also you can guide the person if you guys are in a relationship to how you would want to be touched, to where, yeah, you're setting your boundaries, but at the same time, you're setting a boundary of area where you still would be having a physical connection, but not also always having a physical distance. Just something to consider. Anyways, number two. Emotional boundaries. Back to the article. Addressing, respecting, and acknowledging one's feelings refers to the emotional boundaries that you practice in your life. It is also including limiting what, when, and how much you are comfortable sharing with others, at an emotional level. These boundaries measure your ability to state your feelings and setting boundaries around inappropriate topics, attitudes, and emotional dumping. Emotional boundaries are not only focused on your knowledge of your emotional energy, but also about your respecting others' emotions. Therefore, you should be able to validate the feelings of others and check with them if they can take the emotional information that you feel like delivering. Oh, that's appropriate. See, emotional boundaries are generally violated when we receive criticism or are asked to justify our feelings. Apart from it, being emotionally dumped without permission and assuming how others are feeling is also part of an unhealthy emotional boundaries. Emotional boundaries, damn. Well, from my perspective, that's a big one, okay? Because with the emotional boundaries, in my experience, I've learned that it really does depend on the person, you know, because some people feel like you have such good energy that they just want to feel okay doing the emotional dumping, but not in an extreme disrespectful kind of way. But in the sense of a personal self, like myself, when I receive that, I'm okay with it because it's not really affecting me none. But I can see how it can be perceived by others that, you know, why is that allowed? Or why do you do that with that person and not with so-and-so or someone else? So there's a lot of misconflicts and things that could be dug into, but to hear there. But in the whole general sense of emotional boundaries, yes, is also aware of setting boundaries around inappropriate topics, attitudes, and emotional dumping. So inappropriate topics can vary from anything that one person don't feel like we're talking about. Like, it'd be a past situation that was emotionally heated to just, you know, how one person views another person's physical attributes, anything. As for attitudes and emotional dumping, well, everyone just needs to check themselves emotionally before they even want to open their mouth personally. And that's how you avoid a lot of those emotional boundary violations. You know, if you can really just correct your energy behind any kind of articulation of emotion, then your emotional state would be calm and you won't have that emotional dumping. You just have a logical approach to the whole thing, pretty much. So that's just what I think. Now, as for what it says about healthy emotional boundaries will sound like, I'm having a hard time and really need to talk. Are you in a place to listen right now? Okay. Next, I really can't talk about that right now. It isn't the time, or it isn't the right time. Excuse me. Next being, right now, I am not in a place to take in all this information. Do you think we can come back to this conversation later? I can see that. Last, I can only share with you if you can respond respectfully to me. Ooh, now that's a good one. Okay, so some of these on here I like, even sounds good to me, you know. I have to go over them again because they actually sounds good. Now it says, I'm having a hard time and really need to talk. Are you in a place to listen right now? In that situation, that one varies because sometimes that can be a mouthful. You know, it could just be something simple like, hey, may I have a word with you for a minute? Or, hey, can I have a moment of your time? And just that way you can pull them to the side or pull them to a safe place where you guys can actually talk and, you know, you can get your point across. But just that's one way to take it, but every situation varies from every person. Next, it says, I really can't talk about it right now. It isn't the right time. That's respectful, you know. Then when one person says it that way, well, okay, I understand where you come from. I understand where you come from. And whenever you feel there is a right time, let us get to a place where we can talk about that. Solid. So, now the next one being, right now, I am not in a place to take in all this information. Do you think we can come back to this conversation later? That sounds so professionally, like, slick to me. Because it's kind of like, yeah, you can use that statement in almost any place, particularly like in bar situations, if you really want to be into you know, to a guy or girl, and you want to be professional about it. You just tell them, like, yeah, right now I'm not in a place to take in all this information. Do you think we can come back to this conversation later? You can say it with a drink in your hand, and you can look them dead in the eyes and hope they understand. Now, if they're cognitive enough in their would-be inebriated state, they would be able to look at you and really relay, okay, I do understand, and we can come back to it later. Now, that's just, on a tangent type situation, but if they really happen to recall the conversation, then you might have something of interest. Back to the lecture at hand. Now, the last one says, I can only share with you if you can respond respectfully to me. I like this one a lot because it's so like, hey, I want to tell you something about me, or hey, I want to share something with you, but I only need you to respond respectfully to me, or else I can see that there's no longer sharing of this emotional boundary. And I can see that it's going to be weaponized just based on one person's response or physical interaction after. So we're here going to talk about time boundaries. Now it says here that we don't have to be available for others all the time or plan our day according to their schedule. This factor demands you to value your time and suggests you utilize it smartly to classify time boundaries. It also entails how much time you have to devote to yourself, to spend with others, and to invest in work or your social life. Keeping your personal space, social, and personal life easily distinguishable and not letting them overlap or merge is a sign of a healthy time boundary, which I agree. Because sometimes when you can't separate yourself from too many things, you find yourself tied up in too many things. Easily tied up in time boundaries. I can relate to that. Now, it says, sadly, time boundaries are violated the most as valuing others' time does not count that easy. Some ways in which time violations take place are showing up late or canceling on people because we have other commitments contacting. Which sucks, but okay. Now it says, healthy time boundaries will sound like, I can only stay for an hour. Okay. Next one says, do you have time to chat today? Interesting. Next is, I would love to help, but I would be overcommitting myself. Is there another time? Respectful. And another one be, we have family time on Sundays, so we don't. Wait. It says, we have family time on Sunday, so we won't make it. All right. In my eyes, these healthy time boundaries do sound all right. When one person says, I can only stay for an hour, yeah, okay, that's cool. When the hour time comes up, they can respectfully leave. Or if the other person really respects and values your time, they would say, hey, it's been an hour, and do you still want to stay for a little longer, or did you want to, stay to your plans or stay to your times? It takes a person who's more like aware to really come out and be like, okay, I'm aware of your time, even though you set the time, you're grown, and oh shit, I still want to let you know that I'm aware of your time when you said you're going to be here for a certain amount of time. Now, next one is saying that, do you have time to chat today? That doesn't really sound like something that goes down very top, very often, period. So it'd be more like, do you have time for a conversation? Or can I have a moment to speak with you? Speak with you, not to you. There's a difference. So certain kind of words give you certain kind of actual results in the opportunity for that time boundary to be shared or, set pretty much. Next one says, I would love to help, but I would be overcommitting myself. Is there another time? That sounds like something more one would say, like again, in a professional environment, or if you want to come off in any kind of environment, really, as a person who's articulately setting their boundaries or setting their time boundaries. Well, pretty much, if someone said that to me, I would be more in tune to hear what they have to say because they chose a lot of appropriate words. So, yeah, it says, I would love to help, but I'd be overcommitting myself. Is there another time? Yeah, that's a very appropriate way to go about it. Now, the last one says, we have family time on Sundays, so we won't make it. If you really want to share that you got family time like that, that's fine. But otherwise, like, hey, I have other personal arrangements on that Sunday. We're just not going to make it, or I'm not going to make it, or I've had other engagements, anything. But if you want to mention the whole time, family sharing, it's just to each their own. Next, we have intellectual boundaries. Now, this is going to be interesting. See, this boundary refers to your thoughts, ideas, and curiosities. Intellectual boundaries include sharing one's opinions on one hand and respecting that of others. It also highlights that awareness and ability to carry forward a healthy discussion without hurting someone else's or feeling hurt. To put in a nutshell, intellectual boundaries are focused on sharing your ideas, opinions, thoughts, values, and beliefs with respectfulness and a willingness to dialogue and disagree. I like how they put that. Moving forward, see, they have trespass when someone belittles or dismisses others' thoughts or ideas. Other than that, when the thoughts shared are unhealthy or if the opinions are inherently hurtful and they are still forced to be accepted or agreed upon, the intellectual boundary is violated. Ooh, that's a fact. Now, after hearing this, I gotta say, sometimes it's hard to find one's intellectual boundaries when they don't even know their own intellectual awareness. Not to sound rude about it, but seriously, someone can be giving backhanded compliments or saying something just straight up belittling to someone else and they won't catch it. And it's like I feel offended for them, but that's something of my own. I know I have to be respectful towards others and their opinions and their intellectual boundaries, but still, it's just sometimes that's just hard to swallow. But more or less, more so, when someone, anyone, since try to say you're wrong about something or just says like that's stupid or your opinion doesn't make any sense, it's like there's a proper way to go about saying so many different things. A lot of the times it's not about what you say, it's how you say it. So if one person wants to say, I disagree with how you're feeling things, or I disagree with something that you said the other day, then just go about it in the right way. So it says here that healthy intellectual boundaries will sound like, I know we disagree, but I won't let you belittle me like that. Yeah, if someone's going to be violating on your intellectual boundaries, and yeah, you got to be assertive and stand up for yourself, but do it in a way to where you're not raising your voice and yelling all crazy or talking out of your side of your neck or nothing like that. Just talk to them as if you want to be spoke to. That's usually the best way to go about it. Next, it says, I would love to talk about this more, but I don't think talking about it during Thanksgiving dinner is the best time. I did not see that coming. Okay, well, we can always replace Thanksgiving dinner with, talking about it during dinner or talking about it while this many people are around or talking about it right after the heated situation just took place. You can just reword that as much as you like just to help set that intellectual boundary. Because it's never good to talk from an emotional state. Take time to breathe and deliberate, then speak about something. Next it says, when we talk about this, oh yeah, it says, when we talk about this, we don't get very far. I think it's a good idea to avoid the conversation right now. See, when we talk about this, we don't get very far. I think it is a good idea to avoid the conversation right now. That is a very proper and adult way to say it. But if you're coming from an emotional point, it might not come out the emotion the same. But at the same time, I understand the wording of it and the sincerity behind something like that can really tell somebody that I need my boundary, I need my space. And that's pretty nice. I actually agree with that one. The last one says, I can respect that we have different opinions on this, which is a great way of saying, you know what, let's agree to disagree, or I'm glad you stand firm in what you believe, I'm going to stand firm in what I believe, so let's just move on to a more healthier topic or a healthier opportunity for us to share an experience. You know, anything like that, that'd just be the great part. And next it says, material boundaries. Now, material boundaries usually encircle your possessions, money, your wish to use them, and your expectations on how they should be treated by self and others. Healthy materialistic boundaries are marked by having limits on what to share and with whom. Usually, when your materialistic things are taken without permission, borrowed too frequently, not returned, damaged, or never returned, along with this, manipulation of materials is also a sign of unhealthy material boundaries. Damn. That's a good agreement. Now, I don't really see how much that really plays in too many situations in day-to-day that I can think of. At least not with the people that I've seen and interacted with. So everyone's pretty secure in their material boundaries. But there are some situations where I've hear about friends, you know, like, for example, they would give them the opportunity to loan a vehicle or to, hey, I want you to borrow my CDs or borrow my movies or, hey, you can have my Netflix account or share that account. But then, they, you know what I'm saying, it gets spread around like a bad time and you don't want all of that. That's like a boundary, you know, when you let someone use someone like, hey, I want you to have this and only for you, then it gets used everywhere else and no one's accountable for whatever happened to us outside of that. So I can definitely see how materialist boundaries can be something real personal. Now it says healthy material boundaries would sound like, I can't lend out my car. I am the only person on the insurance. Okay, next is, we can't give any more money. We would be happy to help in other way. Okay. And last being, sure, I'm happy to share my dress with you. Just a heads up, I do need it back by Friday. Very interesting examples they use, but okay. Now, they can't lend out the car. I'm the only person in insurance. To each their own, okay? If that's what it is, then that is what it is, and that's respectable. You know what I'm saying? But if the person is really someone that you guys have a healthy relationship with, a healthy interaction with, it's not a big deal to find two solutions for every one problem. But yeah, again, if you want to let it be known that that's your boundary, that's the way you want to get it out, yeah, I can't lend out my car. I'm the only person on the insurance. I can definitely relate with that and respect that. Next, it says we can't give any more money. We would be happy to help in another way. Which, you know, that's respectful as fuck, you know, because everyone can only do so much for so long for so many people. And if there's no validation of gratitude or the really understanding of that, I can see that you're going to do something more with it, especially if someone just abusing it, gambling addiction, some kind of addiction or other purposes they may have for it that's not seen by the person giving intent, like I'm giving you using this money for you to do something better with yourself and then just repeat something bad, then yeah, I can see how that can be a healthy boundary to set. Or just anyone who are just, you know, everyone has different feelings about money, so it could be like, oh, that's a big thing, we don't give out money, but we're happy to give out anything else. Well, okay, well, that's your thing, then I respect that. So, sure, I can get that. Now, the last one's saying that, sure, I'm happy to share my dress with you. Just a heads up, I do need it back by Friday. I wonder if those interactions really do sound like that. That'd be something. Because to me, it sounds like, I'm from what I think I know of females, is that they loan each other the dresses, this, that, and the other. It comes back when it comes back, or if they need that, it'll be there. So, but again, that's only a select group of females. Everyone may have their own time frame. They'd be like, yes, I'm gonna loan you my dress today, but I need a dry cleaning back by a certain time. And other people's mind could be a little more fancy, but that's that. So everyone got their own way of going about how they wanna request certain things in a certain time frame from people. So I can definitely understand where I come from. Now it says the last part, the new found boundary, spiritual boundary. Well, let's check it out just because. So spiritual boundaries are set to protect your spiritual belief and your energy. It includes staying away from negative energies or the one that drains you down, stopping your growth as an individual. It also is centered on how we protect our relationships with God or something greater than ourselves. This boundary is violated in the form of questioning or disrespecting one's or other spiritual belief system. To avoid the violation of boundary, here are some points you to make a note of. This is one. Give yourself the permission to define your own relationship with whatever higher power you relate to, if any. Two, honor and practice your values and beliefs without interference. Three, choose your own path to view and practice religious activities. Four, avoid talking about your spiritualities with people who find it discomfort in it, who find discomfort in it. Five, protect your energy by avoiding negative leeches. Now, somehow many of these boundaries have been maintaining in your life, and which ones are being violated? Well, what matters is how aware are you of the boundaries that you are maintaining and how healthy they are. After all, setting healthy boundaries is a form of self-care and self-love. All right, well, let's talk about that. Spiritual boundaries. Well, it says give yourself permission to define your own relationship with whatever higher power you relate to, if any. I personally feel like you got to believe in yourself before you can really believe in anything else. And that goes on to so many different levels and magnitudes and interacts on so many different levels of boundaries, perspectives, relationships, everything. So really got to take that one step forward and believe in yourself despite any adversity, despite any past, trials, tribulations. It took that of the past to create that of what we see today. Otherwise, the image that you display wouldn't be as finely tuned. So we really got to take some note for that. Now it says, honor and practice your values and beliefs without interference. Yeah, again, so to each their own. Whatever makes you feel like you're more in touch and in tune to what you believe in, if it's yourself, if it's a higher power, if it's a religious practice, whatever. If whatever makes you feel like you're more in tune with that and with the whole of pretty much the earth or one with the feeling of sensation of being part of the one around you, then do that. Practice your values that make you feel good without interfering. So don't let something else interfere with you doing that because, oh, I don't want to do that right now because of this, or I don't feel like I don't want to do like that because of that. Just do it and know that's something a part of you that you're accepting, and people who accept you will accept it too. I mean, at least that's what's supposed to happen. If not, then you gotta change that negative energy, even if it's changing the people. Next, it says, choose your own path of view and practice religious activities. Okay, I agree with the first part. Choose your own path of view. So, whatever path you choose of you, that's a path between you and the path and the destination too. So that's the opportunity for you to just really see how much focus you want to be on. You could focus on the path. Sure, there's many ups and downs and curves along the path. That's fine. We can focus on that as we go along. That's focusing on the moments of the things we don't do. But if you focus on just the destination, you know that the path is just more than just a thing to look at as a view. So that look at I see how I choose your path of view. Now this practice religious activities, I'm not a big fan of religion, so I don't really know what to say about religious activity practices, but if it's something in honor to how they go about their prayer or how they go about their interaction with the things they believe, then sure, go about that. Again, that's to each their own, but to me, it's not really something I want to just touch on because everyone has their own perspectives on it. Now, it says, avoid talking about your spirituality with people who find it discomfort in it, who find discomfort in it. Whew, that's a big one. Okay, so it's hard to really sometimes find how much discomfort someone has in something when people sometimes just have a genuine curiosity, you know, and that's where you start double-dutching with situations like, okay, should I talk about this? Should I not talk about that? Should I go a little deeper in this? Should I just back out of that? You know, double-dutching back and forth, that type of situation. So to avoid talking about your spirituality, well, sometimes if the situation or perspectives comes up and they ask, well, hey, you ask a question, you're going to get an answer. We're not always one to think about, oh, I should really be conscientious about their boundaries about how they feel about something. Well, if you didn't want to know an answer to a question, you don't ask a question. That's just point blank, period. So as that gets avoided or talked about, then people will be able to find their points of view on that one. Now, again, if they're discomfortable with that, we can politely walk away from the conversation, or we can just change the topic to something more appreciative, or, you know, talk about something positive. It's easy. Now it says, protect your energy by avoiding negative leeches. Ooh. So, avoiding negative leeches. That one's going to take some explaining to do. But all in all, most people deal with a negative leech or two in their life, and they understand the experience and overstand how sometimes people can allow themselves to be under those situations. And of course, as we grow up and as we go through our experiences, we have to understand bad energy to appreciate good energy. And believe it or not, sometimes that bad energy can be slightly addictive energy for us to appreciate the good energy. It sounds like a lot, but take your time to understand when you can. So when we appreciate more of the good energy we do finally realize we have, and that's more consistent in our lives, we find ourselves no longer needing or entertaining the bad energy. Even if the bad energy is people and situations, we just change all the way to a positive, pretty much a positive atmosphere, a positive bubble. And that's where we learn to just gravitate towards and what we learn that we attract to us. But when we start entertaining and allow that negative leeches in us or around us, it really starts to manifest. You know, all it takes is one bad apple in a batch. So when you have one bad negative energy source that's consistent or that's a big role, it's going to fester. And you may not think about it on a day-to-day basis, but it can be a lingering thought, which thought is energy, and that energy takes away from you. So that's all it takes, is just one bad person to give you one bad feeling or one negative view, especially if it's the negative view of yourself. So just protect your energy. So I can see how that all makes sense. But yeah, so that was a pretty much good little topic I wanted to read today and get it across to people. And yeah, I hope that we all just learn a couple things from that. Because it's all about self-care and self-love. And we need more perspectives to some of the insight we all have.